to me. WSRadio.com.
Accomplishment Coaching is proud to present the following fine programming. Accomplishment Coaching, where coaches lead and leaders coach. AccomplishmentCoaching.com.
Welcome back to The Coaching Show with your host, Master Certified Coach Christopher McCullough.
Thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. So again, we want to shout out to Accomplishment Coaching. If you're interested in the world's finest coach training program, by any measure, it's not hype, it's not just a slogan, it's actually a commitment that's been fulfilled for over 18 years. Accomplishment Coaching is the place you want to check out, ICF accredited, of course. It's got in-person small group coach training programs across the United States and in Canada. Check it out by going to AccomplishmentCoaching.com and find out what separates the world's finest coach training program from every other training program out there. Anything that you want to say before we introduce perhaps our most interesting guests ever?
I'm so excited for these guests. I don't know that I can wait another minute.
All right. Well, that would be the voice of Clarice Connolly, our special in-studio guest co-host today. And you can find out more about Clarice by going where?
EmpoweringWomen.coach.
Empowering women, plural, dot coach, singular. All right. What if you took somebody who was a neuroscientist focused on brain-computer interface and then had them get their MBA at Stanford University, meet and marry a writer who's actually managing freelance writers? They created an art commission marketplace, which we'll find out more about what that is. And then they wrote a book called The Pragmatist's Guide to Life, and started a foundation called the Pragmatist Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to helping people think critically and take ownership of their actions and identities. Most important, most interesting, forgive me, people on the planet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why you have to have them on the show, because this is amazing.
Absolutely. We have such people here. Malcolm Collins and Simone Collins are joining us. Hello.
Hello, we are thrilled to be here with you.
Thank you. You sound it. I'm going to have to caffeinate to keep up here. Look around outside. Where do you guys join us from today?
Today is Miami. Tonight will be Scotland.
Wow. I'll have what they're having. All right. This is, at the very least, this is an odd pathway. Tell us a little bit first about the first, I'm gathering it's the first sort of collaboration between the two of you, artcorgi.com?
Oh, goodness, yeah. That was in our early startup phase together in Silicon Valley. We were actually working on a different startup at the time, working on empowering freelancers through online tools. And then Malcolm just decided to get really romantic and proposed to me with a bunch of commissioned art that he posted on Reddit. It went viral. It inspired us to create a startup that basically made it easier for artists to sell commissioned art to everyday people. And it turned into what's now the biggest mid-market art commissioning platform online.
And for clarification, commissioned art basically means you go to an artist and you say something like, I want you to, you know, paint my family or something for this year's Christmas cards.
Yeah, not actually applying paint to the family, but paint a picture.
Yeah.
Correct.
Ooh.
Well, it might be a different price.
I'm getting a product idea here.
Dang it. I always give away my best ideas. All right. Yeah, so and that's still up and running. Do you guys still own it? Are you still involved?
We're still the founders. We still own it. We've installed a CEO to run it now, and it's doing just fine on its own without us, because frankly, we have our hands full between our travel business, TravelMax, and the foundation that we started as well.
Right. And doesn't Malcolm do a little side hustle of being the director of strategy of some place?
Oh, that was my last job. I was director of strategy at the number one early stage VC firm in South Korea. So we worked on, you know, investing in startups, and that was also the world Simone came from before this. So a little missing part of your story is we were both in the VC world, and she did it in the UK.
There we go. Okay, that makes me feel slightly better about my own lack of comparable accomplishments. Let's talk about, okay, so that's a former job, but you both run a number of travel companies now.
Yes.
when you're not writing
travel companies. We didn't found these ones.
Okay.
And it's much larger. I mean, the travel company sort of empire makes Art Corgi look very, very small. And if people want to use it, they can find it at travelmax.com or just email us directly at CEO@travelmax.com.
Now, I'm forgive me, but I'm going to take a moment for me. Clarice would tell you that's every moment. But I feel like we need to know more, because travel agencies, travel companies, in my understanding over the last 10 years or something, were basically going out of business. They were losing business. You know, people were going to Trivago and Orbitz and all these places themselves. And so my understanding was it was a horrible idea to have travel companies. How have you made a travel company viable in this day and age?
You know what? The funny thing is that's exactly what we said when we encountered this company. What we'd done is raised a bunch of money from investors to find a single company to buy and then operate going forward, like miniature private equity. So we'd spent, you know, the previous 9 months before we found this company searching for what we found to be the ideal businesses, you know, recurring revenue, you know, like compliance management. But we found this travel agency, and it's a gem of a business, and a lot of people still use it. The reason being that we've negotiated directly with airlines prices that, frankly, cannot be posted online. They can only be offered privately through our system of agents that are really competitive, and we're able to provide a whole lot more support than Expedia or any other site that you buy tickets from online could. So we were surprised by the value.
We were specifically looking for a company in an industry that didn't have a lot of interest right now. And that came from a conversation Simone had with me where, you know, I'd been offered a management position at Google, and she goes, you know, if you don't take this job, the person they replace you with is going to be just like you. They're going to think just like you. You know, there's going to be no differential change in the world. But if you go into an industry where not a lot of people like us exist, that's where you're going to make a real impact on the world. And I was very compelled by that argument.
And how's it going?
It's going splendidly so far. I almost missed this call because I was running late in a meeting with Air Europa. We're about to fly to the UK, where we're doing a bunch of client meetings and meeting with a potential partner there, and then British Airways. I mean, it's super fun.
We should focus on the interesting stuff, and that's the book.
And sudden left turn. Let's do that. All right. Well, I'm fascinated. I think people should check out Travel Max. I'm also all about this Art Corgi. It's ARTCORGI.
Like the dog.
And people should go check that out, because what a great gift. You know, we missed Mother's Day, but Father's Day's coming up, and, you know, people's anniversaries and whatnot. So I think we should not throw all that stuff out. And the book. This has a rare, like, people love this book. On Amazon, it's 4.99 out of 5 stars. Why people got to be that way, I don't know. But it's incredible.
We got our first bad review today, which said the ideas in the book were bizarre and dangerous.
Clarice.
That was totally me.
All right. The book we're talking about, of course, is The Pragmatist's Guide to Life, a guide to creating your own answers to life's biggest questions. What in the world would have you go from this VC, you know, private, mini private equity life of yours to suddenly talking about life's biggest questions?
Honestly, it's a conversation we've had from the very first day that we've met that ultimately started getting written down. And then we decided to publish what we'd written because it helped us so much. I mean, it is why we are in the position we are. Why I went from, when I met Malcolm, being a basically glorified customer service agent to now being the CEO of a multinational travel corporation. We saw how effective it was, this process we'd worked out. And we thought, okay, well, we'd first just written it to share it with our children. And then we thought, okay, why would we do that if we really believe in this and it helps us? Share it with everyone.
Malcolm, it seems like that was a kind of a left turn in your career, but you've been thinking about this stuff for a while. You're a guy who has his own life plan, because if we look at your accomplishments, it doesn't seem like it's in line with a plan, but sort of the whim of the moment, or has it been your plan to be multifaceted and varied?
This is something that I have planned for basically my entire life. I make the money I make. I do the jobs I do so I can promote the message of this book and the cause of the Associated Foundation, because if we're not pushing it, it doesn't look like anyone else is right now.
This was always Malcolm's plan. I mean, you know, when I met him on our first date, He sat across from me. And in addition, by the way, to making it very clear on our first date that he was not looking to date, he was looking for a wife, and he expected to find his wife that fall at Stanford, where there was a large pool of pre-vetted candidates. So he said that. Then he laid out this entirely thought through elaborate life plan. And with all of those left turns that, you know, you think are, you know, no, they were planned. Everything was planned. And honestly, when he said all that to me and then sat across from me at dinner and asked, okay, so now you go.
Well, I can't,
you
know, even imagine.
I'm like, oh God, you know, I mean, and that's one of the things that really kicked off that conversation I alluded to that led to the Pragmatist's Guide that's to Life. Awesome. I realized that everything that I had, you know, was not thought through.
Well, it wasn't even that I asked, what's your life plan? You know, what I sat through and asked, just specifically, what's she trying to achieve?
What does
she want from her life? What are the things she's trying to maximize? And the answers you first threw at me were very generic, you know?
Oh, God, yes.
They were like, you know, I want to make people happy. I want to be happy. I want to, you know, prevent suffering. I want to achieve, you know, some vague sense of spiritual enlightenment. And then when I started digging deeper on that, it was very much, well, why do you want that? Specifically, why? Specifically, why does human happiness have value to
and,
you?
And technically, the answer was because I was raised in Silicon Valley and merely told that that is what one should
this is what you do.
Try to achieve.
Yeah. What do you think the average person is doing wrong when they are, like, developing their, you know, so-called life plan?
And let's acknowledge that the average person probably doesn't have a life plan, right? But even those that do, what are we doing wrong? Where are we misstepping?
The biggest mistake that people make is they develop a life plan to achieve or maximize certain things in their life. And a lot of people actually do develop a life plan. But what people don't do enough is ask themselves, what am I trying to maximize in my life? And why am I trying to maximize those things? You know, it's your own happiness. Why does your own happiness matter to you? Why is happiness something of value to you? What's the philosophical underpinning for this belief that you have created an entire life plan around? And that's what a lot of the book does focus on, is helping people think through, without trying to bias them towards any specific answer, what exactly it is that they want to maximize with their lives.
Right. So the argument isn't so much that people aren't good at making plans. It's that, yeah, they're good at making plans, and then they achieve those plans, and they're like, oh, well, I guess that doesn't really matter to me. I feel unfulfilled.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want to make money and be happy and be powerful.
We met all these successful, you know, VCs and millionaires and even some billionaires, and you know what? They just didn't seem any happier, more fulfilled than, or even less lost
than
we were.
Yeah, it's like they're even more lost because they've achieved everything that they thought would make them feel unlost, and it didn't.
Yeah.
It's let's test your theory. What are you trying to maximize, and why are you trying to maximize it?
Well, it's something that we honestly don't like to talk about about what we're trying to maximize as much, because we feel it sort of biases people. And one of the things that we really fight for in our book and in our foundation is not to guide people down any specific path. You know, so many books that are trying to give you a guide to life or help you answer these questions, you know, they come at it with the assumption that the Christian path is right, or the, you know, spiritual path is right, or the nihilist path is right. And what we want to do is help guide people to their own answers. So our vaguer goal is to just help people be more intentional in their lives, so that they are actually fighting and spending the one life they have trying to achieve something they actually want.
Don't you feel like you really want to know now?
No, I can agree with that, actually. Like, okay. I feel like I kind of take the same stance. I don't want people to, like, follow me or to believe in me because they want to end up like me. I feel like everyone has their own truth, and it's a matter of pointing them in the direction of, like, follow your own heart, not just what everyone else is doing or what everyone else looks like they're succeeding in or finding happiness through.
I've decided there's a strong possibility that they created a secret society in Stanford and we'll never know what the real intention is. All right.
One day. That's one of our goals. Create a secret society.
Let's talk about the Pragmatist Foundation, this nonprofit that you created, and why you created it and what it's doing.
So the nonprofit right now is just where all of the profits from the book go. You know, we're not in this for any sort of financial benefit for ourselves. When we look at sort of the geopolitical state of the world right now, and when we look at where things are heading, it seems to us that truth has become a bit of a team sport. And people aren't interested in challenging their ideas about the world or in looking for evidence that they might be wrong or, you know, evidence that maybe they should change the way they're trying to achieve what they want to achieve. And we created this foundation to try to break that trend, to try to help educate people at an early age in how to change your own mind and how to choose who you're going to be.
Mm. And, okay, so there's a lot of self-responsibility. There's a lot of your own, you're responsible for yourself in your worldview, correct?
Oh, yes. No, I mean, one thing that we do really dislike about a lot of self-help and advice books that we see is that it's all about, you're okay, you're good enough, you know, you should like who you are. And our argument is actually, no, you shouldn't like who you are. You should learn how to become someone that does deserve your respect. Don't respect yourself as you are with your flaws.
Hmm. Nice. So it's about development. It's about, a lot of this is about forward movement and creation, mm-hmm. and becoming, yes?
Yeah, and creating and shifting your locus of control from an external locus of control where everyone, you know, where your failures are someone else's fault or the fault of circumstances, to an internal locus of control where everything that happens is due to your final call on that thing.
Is that, I noticed pragmatism is a foundational concept here. Is that because you think that the way that you had indicated you were going through life, you know, where we're just looking for happiness and to feel better and to, you know, fulfill some goals that in many cases weren't self-directed, right? We got from our parents, our family, our culture, our something, right? Do you feel like that's impractical in some way? Is this more of a practical guide, or is there something else to it?
Yeah. And we find it ridiculously, hilariously impractical that people try to achieve things in life that don't mean anything to them. You know, it's like, oh, let's be practical about the way we go about this. Now, why don't you please spread peanut butter on that wall? And you're like, okay, I'll do that. But you never ask why.
And it's about asking why to the things that we often don't question in our lives. And that's a big focus of the book. And it's something that when people don't like the book, is one of their core criticism. It's they say, these are questions you're not supposed to ask.
Interesting.
You know, you're not supposed to ask, does equality really matter? And if so, why? Mm-hmm. Is it really an effective tool for maximizing happiness? And we're not saying that's wrong or right, but we're just trying to get people to question the core assumptions that as a society, we're just said, oh, don't ask that question. Don't focus on that.
Yeah, you know, which is funny because, you know, we make fun of, you know, dystopian futuristic societies where there are certain things that you're not allowed to talk about. And yet at the same time, there are so many things that we're not allowed to talk about. We don't even mm-hmm. seem to recognize that that's the case.
I love that too, because I think what it, and from a coaching world, is like when you actually get pretty clear or you dare to ask why, you get you actually create the definition, or you get to see like, oh, if you're chasing after happiness, like what does even mean? What does happiness mean to you? And when you kind of get mm-hmm. to understand that why, then you're like, oh, it's more specific and it becomes more of an achievable thing. And then you can actually get clear on, oh, I'm here at that place. What do you, when you're working with people to actually ask these whys, like, are you finding that most people aren't challenging themselves in that way?
Yeah, they want an answer, you know, like what happens often when we just ask them the initial question, you know, okay, find out what it is you want to maximize with your life. They'll go onto Wikipedia and look for a list of, you know, meanings of life. They'll go through that. They'll choose the ones they like, and they're like, okay, well, I've decided that I'm going to be, you know, like this philosophy, and I'm just going to do everything that they say is good.
Or worse than that, they say, we're like, what are you trying to maximize? Like, what do you think has value in the world, and how are you going to maximize it, right? Mm-hmm. And what they do is they look through sort of worldviews and pick whichever worldview means they have to change the least about their lifestyle.
Mm.
Right, like the one that fits their current personality. Well, like, I'm the spunky, adventurous person, so...
And I have a family, and I'm working, you know, towards a career, and so, okay, what thing would all of that be working towards? Yes. That's what must have value.
Yes.
But they didn't choose to do all those things because they were trying to reach this end goal. All of these things were foisted upon them by, you know, serendipity and necessity, and then they created an end goal that made them satisfying to them.
I love that piece you touched on, like, travel, too. What role do you think that travel plays in, like, figuring out a good life plan and having people, you touch on in the book this flux period? Can you kind of explain and attach both of those in regard to what we're talking about?
Yeah. So one of the things that we discuss a lot in the book is, once you know what you want to maximize with your life, how do you change yourself into a person that is capable of maximizing that, who reacts to the world in the right ways? And that means, in many cases, breaking habits that are extremely hard to break, you know, reinventing yourself. And to figure out how we actually make that change, because habit change is extremely difficult, we looked a lot at different behavioral economics cases in which governments and other organizations managed to effectively change behavior. And what we found was that most of the effective programs take advantage of what, in the book, we've decided to call flux periods, which are basically periods in which your identity is unhinged from the normal narrative.
A social context. Yeah.
So what we would call a flux period is like when you move to a new city, when you graduate from college, when you get a new job, when you have your first child. It's when you are doing something for the first time, or you're in a new place and you're not surrounded by the characters and the set and the costumes that tell you who you are and make it impossible to change.
And in these moments in your life, you can genuinely rewrite who you are. You can rewrite how you emotionally react to environmental stimuli. You know, somebody comes up and insults you, and you can choose the emotional impulse that you get from that situation, and you can choose how to create yourself, but there are only a few moments in your life where you can do that, and those are these flux periods, and you can artificially create them through travel.
Yeah, and so one thing that we're really excited about is, I mean, now that we have a travel company too, and we're able to get really good prices for people to fly around and really, you know, really inexpensive periods spent outside the country or in some other area, we're trying to figure out ways that we can help people kick bad habits, be it, you know, stopping smoking or literally changing their identity as they want to make their lives more effective and fulfilling, so that they can achieve their goals. And we just find travel to be such a helpful tool with that. It's really the only way that you can orchestrate it in an intentional way, because otherwise it's, you know, it has to be one of those big junctures. Someone in your life dies, you change jobs, you move to a new city, and it's really hard to control those sorts of things.
It's, I know that The Pragmatist's Guide to Life is easily and readily available. You've made it so by having a completely affordable price. Kindle version on Amazon right now, 99 cents for this book. If people want the paperback, I think it's only about $7. So
it was the lowest Amazon would allow us to charge.
It's astounding. And you're taking what monies you do get and putting them into the Pragmatist Foundation. My understanding is the Pragmatist Foundation is privately funded. In other words, we can't donate it to it other than by purchasing the book. Is that true?
Maybe one day we'll be doing stuff where we would love to have other people, you know, contribute to it. But the thing that we would want most from people, if they sort of like our mission, is just to reach out to us and coordinate with us on how we can help and help steer our goals. Because, you know, what we need most right now is just assistance in creating the structure of the organization and moving it forward to the next steps. I mean, we're doing an awful lot right now, you know, working on our next book and running our, you know, international business empire. So
indeed,
it's a little difficult to put as much time as we would like towards the foundation.
And if people are interested, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Do you want them to do it through social media? Is there a way to reach out?
Just email me at malcolm@pragmatist.guide or simone@pragmatist.guide.
Very good. Very clear. And you invite people to take on this book, not just by themselves, like so many of us who are in or have dealt with the self-help industry, and we just sort of get the book and put it on our shelf. But you invite us to do it with a book buddy. So we can purchase it on Kindle. We can purchase it paperback, but you'll send a free digital copy of the book to a book buddy for us. It's extraordinary work, and I want to thank you for being with us. I want to thank you for everything that you're doing. We've got about, I don't know, 27 seconds left. What would you like to make your parting thought or parting shot for us and 50,000 coaches today?
As you go throughout the day, keep an eye out for something, some idea, some comment that offends you. If something offends you, it means that it's a threatening idea to your reality, and it is potentially real, because if it wasn't really possible, it wouldn't scare you. Explore that and see if it's right and you can change for better.
Beautiful. All right, The Pragmatist Guide to Life, available on Kindle for 99 cents, the lowest price they'd allow, and or in paperback for $6.65. We thank both Malcolm and Simone for being with us, and we thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Nowadays, internet devices are an integral part of your home. Everyone in your family has a smartphone, tablet, or a computer. Life is easier knowing that all your devices are secured and your family can surf the internet carefree. ESET Multi-Device Security Pack does just that. One license for all your devices. With ESET, it's simple to stay protected and save money. Enjoy safer technology with ESET Multi-Device Security Pack at ESET.com. That's ESET.com.
Do you want to be a professional coach? Are you in business trying to make a real difference with people you manage or work with? Have you started a coaching practice that isn't quite getting off the ground? Get the skills you need to be a successful coach today with the Coach's Training Program from Accomplishment Coaching. The Coach's Training Program will show you how to help others focus and be more fulfilled. Whether you want to improve your company's bottom line or create a thriving coaching practice, Accomplishment Coaching can give you the distinctions and practices you need to coach others effectively today. Accomplishment Coaching has spent 6 years developing a cutting-edge coaches training program that will have you ready to coach people professionally in just 12 months, and you don't have to take time off work to do it. To find out more about the Coaches Training Program, just call 1-888-548-6813. That's 1-888-548-6813.
Hi, Scale listener. This is David Finkel, co-host with Jeff Hoffman of Scale Your Business. I wanted to let you know that our newest book, Scale, was just released, and to encourage you to get your copy. The book will give you 7 proven principles to grow your business and get your life back. Scale will help you work less by getting your business to produce more. Get your copy online or at your local bookseller. For more information, visit us online at scaleyourbusinesstoolkit.com.
Cybersecurity is the fastest growing job sector. The SoCal Cyber Cup Challenge encourages kids to consider computer security as an interesting course of study and a valuable career path. Securing our e-city helps lead this youth competition to create interest and awareness among students and their schools. The SoCal Cyber Cup Challenge. Learn more at securingourecity.org or call 619-630-2444.
Do you love wine, but it doesn't love you back in the morning? Then it's time to try Alcotox, the ultimate hangover cure. Alcotox is a dietary supplement that reduces the harmful side effects of alcohol, and it benefits all alcohol consumers, not just those who occasionally overindulge. So now, for less than the cost of a drink, you can wake up hangover-free. To learn more, go to vinvillage.com and let Alcotox make hangovers a thing of the past.